Done with frizz? Say goodbye to that poof. Repel humidity and tame those flyaways. One drop, frizz stops with John Frieda Frizzy Serum. Your hair talks and frizz never interrupts. John Frieda Frizzy Serum. One drop, frizz stops.
Only from John Frieda.
Want to make your blonde blonde? Sheer Blonde Go Blonder Collection by John Frieda lightens and brightens hair two full shades to give you your best blonde every day. Your hair talks. Make a statement with Sheer Blonde Go Blonder Collection. Only from John Frieda.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, here we are. It's draft week, and this is exciting, obviously, for Sacramento Kings fans. It's a big week. They've got control of that early part of the draft, two picks in the top 10 at 5 and 10. And to help us discuss more of the draft, Mike Schmitz at Mike_Schmitz. This guy is everywhere. Director of scouting at Draft Express. Also, big week for Mike as well at the Vertical, all part of that draft coverage that they'll have. Mike, how are you?
I'm great, man. I'm fired up. It's a fun week, so I'm glad it's finally here.
And it's kind of starting with the bang. I mean, you know, Boston, we're like, what are they going to do? So many choices. They'll probably pick Fultz, but hey, maybe they can trade it. Now that that looks like that's all a reality, What do you make of Boston's move and Philly's move here?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy just given the timing of everything. And, you know, I could tell from kind of hearing the rumblings and talking to some of the, you know, some of those guys that maybe they weren't totally sold on Fultz as like a transcendent superstar type of guy, you know. And I think obviously trading down to some degree says that. But I think, you know, they thought, okay, if a guy like Jason Tatum or a guy like Josh Jackson is maybe even their guy or is not that different of a prospect than a guy like Fultz, then why not get some future picks? You're in more of a win now mode. You give yourself some flexibility for future trades. I know they want to go after some big names. So I think it makes sense for both sides. For Philly, it's great. They needed a guy who can play off the ball. I think it's a win-win for both, to be honest.
Yeah, and Philly, you know, at three was in a good spot too, but now at one, I'm curious, Mike, if you have a present draft board, were you clear that Fultz was number one, or did you waver on who you think is number one?
Yeah, to me, he's been the number one guy all year, you know, before the year. Just seeing his maturation over the last couple of years, I think he's a special, special talent. Been impressed with him, you know, since we really first started kind of digging into his game. So to me, he's, you know, a future all-star type of guy. And, you know, I think Philly is going to be really exciting with him, with Simmons, with Embiid, you know, Šarić and all these guys, Covington. It's a really good young core over there.
Now, the Lakers are two. Is Ball two on your board? And are you just under the assumption that that's still, no matter what happens, that's still the guy they're going to end up taking?
Yeah, I mean, I know they haven't really said anything publicly. You know, I think they're still trying to do their due diligence in that regard. But to me, he's the second best prospect in the draft. It makes way too much sense. Just, you know, Chino Hills kid, played at UCLA, local guy, you know, and they kind of need some new life in there. Just, you know, obviously the Luke Walton new regime and Brandon Ingram and D'Angelo Russell, and they could use, I think, another piece who's going to make them go and transition, who's going to share the ball, and who's going to attract free agent types, which is, you know, an area they had a lot of success in the past, but I maybe struggled a little bit as of late. So I think a guy like Lonzo, who's going to share the ball, make everybody better, really helps their situation.
All right, and you already kind of talked about it a little bit with Boston at three. They probably like Jackson. They like Tatum as well. Is there any other thing they could do there? Is it up between those two? And if it is, what do you think their choice will end up being?
To me, I think Tatum is probably a way that they lean a little bit. I think Josh is, you know, in consideration for them as well. But I know he, you know, turned out a workout with them, and I know Boston was able to see Tatum, I believe, in L.A. And I can just see him fitting a little bit more with what they're trying to do. I think Tatum's going to be able to be more of a four in these small ball lineups, kind of a nice forward piece next to, you know, Jaylen Brown. If you're looking down the road at the future, I think those two could play together. Whereas to me, Josh Jackson is more of a kind of a 2-3, you know, than Tatum is. So to me, Tatum is a little bit more of a fit for them. But I think Jonathan Isaac could potentially be somewhat of a dark horse there. I would lean those top two though. And I don't think, another deal is out of the question at all. You really never know with Danny Ainge.
So. Yeah. I feel like this week could be already crazy. I mean, it's already starting that way with a bang, but could have much more. So then there's always intrigue in Sacramento. They know they're picking at five. What do you think that does to Phoenix? I mean, Jackson's a guy that some thought could go as high as one if it does play out the way you're saying, and maybe they lean Tatum. Is it as simple as Jackson goes four? Are they looking at Fox? Are they looking at Isaac? What do you think the Suns might be doing?
Yeah, I think they could really use a wing. You know, they have Devin Booker. They have Eric Bledsoe under a really good, you know, long-term contract. I think he's kind of a movable piece in some ways, but I think a wing makes a lot of sense. A guy like Jackson really makes a lot of sense, you know, for a team that has some shooting, and a guy like Booker could maybe use some defensive toughness and athleticism on the wing. I think he makes sense. But in my opinion, I think Fox is worth a look as well. I don't know how married they are to Bledsoe long term. And I think, you know, just with his ability to play in the paint in Phoenix, having a lot of guys who could potentially stretch the floor long term, and Chris and Bender and Booker, like I said, I think Fox could be a really interesting fit, kind of infuse some energy in that franchise with how hard he plays. But to me, I think if Josh Jackson's on the board, he's probably the pick there.
All right, so I want to ask you about the Kings in almost kind of two ways here in the scenarios we're kind of discussing now. It reminds me a little bit, if for some reason Josh Jackson got past Phoenix, like I said, some thought he could be a number one, number two, and the Kings get him at five, which wouldn't be terrible, but would it? I mean, are there any red flags? Why would it be? I mean, he's not dropping far, but there's a little bit of a drop there. Is there any reason or just fit?
I think, you know, depending on who you ask, some of his workouts have maybe not been as stellar as some would have hoped. He shot the ball really well toward the end of the season, really the last 3 months of the season at Kansas. But, it was reported that his two LA workouts were less than stellar. I think, just his skill set, he's not like an empty gym 1-on-0 type of guy. Like that's not his game. He's not going to look great in a workout. He's got kind of a funky game. He's a gamer. So I think that's maybe part of it, but I think you don't want to overthink this. If he's there at five, that's an absolute steal to me. He's the third best prospect in the draft. You can get a two-way wing who can pass, who can handle, I think, who's going to eventually make enough shots. So, yeah, I mean, if he were there for Sacramento at five, I think that would be a steal.
All right, and then how about if Fox is there, which fits the need, fits what the team seemingly, talking to people there, they do like him. What if Fox ends up being a candidate? What's your opinion of De'Aaron Fox?
Yeah, I love De'Aaron Fox. To me, I think he's the fifth best prospect in the draft behind, you know, the guys we've already talked about, mostly just because, you know, you want to see how the jump shot is going to evolve. But in terms of the athletic profile, I think he's probably the most functional athlete in the draft. And I say that in terms of, you know, you have your dunk contest guys, but in terms of like his twitch, his change of pace, just how quick he is in small spaces, doesn't need a ball screen to get to the rim. He's fearless at the rim, even at 170 pounds. And he's a guy who will pick you up, you know, 94 feet. So I think, you know, bringing him to Sacramento and having a guy who's going to play with that energy, who's going to attack the rim, bring a level of athleticism. And he's a big personality. He was a great kid, big time worker, going to maximize his potential. For a team like the Kings who are looking for that lead guard type, I think he's perfect.
So you mentioned him being the fifth best prospect, Mike. What's the gap we're talking about between if Fultz is one, Ball maybe two, and those are guys that are either points or off the ball a little bit? How far is that gap that we're talking about between a guy like Fox and Ball and Fultz?
To me, I think Fultz is kind of in a tier of his own.
Okay.
And then I think Ball is a little bit as well, to be honest. And then for me, I think that like Tatum, Jackson, and Fox are kind of more in a tier themselves. I think Fultz and Ball have star potential. Where I, you know, maybe with Tatum and Jackson, I see them as more, and Fox, I see them kind of as more really good starters. You know, I think Fox, you could say, has more upside than those other two if he's able to figure out, you know, the shooting aspect, just because he has so many other things. But not a huge gap from, you know, Jackson or Tatum. But to me, you know, a fairly sizable gap from a guy like Fultz.
So if that does that tier end there with Fox, or should there be someone else the Kings, I don't know, for whatever reason, consider at five?
I think Isaac is interesting to look at. You know, if I were Sacramento and Fox is on the board, I would take him. But I think Isaac is an interesting study just because of the way the league is going. You know, he's 6'11", but he can really guard point guards. You know, he grew up as a shooting guard. He had a really late growth spurt. So I think his defensive versatility is interesting. He can shoot the ball a little bit. He's just kind of more of a piece to me. I'm not sure he has the, you know, the scoring mentality to ever be more than like a hyper elite role player type of guy. Which is totally fine. I mean, I think he's gonna be a long time NBA starter, but to me, Fox has more franchise guy type of potential, type of charisma. And he's really, to me, a no-brainer at that spot.
And what's, you know, I'm thinking probably about a month ago, I said, man, could the Kings at five get Fox and at 10 get Isaac? Now I feel like there's just no, there's no way Isaac's going to be at 10, is there?
Yeah, I'd be surprised. I think he makes a lot of sense, you know, with what the Magic are trying to do with John Hammond and Jeff Weltman. You know, those are guys who both really like length, like versatility, you know, seeing what they've done with, at their, you know, previous spots. So I think he is really a fit there. I'd be surprised if he went much lower than six. But I think 10 is still an interesting spot. You're going to have some guys there who have a chance to be pretty good players.
All right, I want to cover a couple of the scenarios then. So if we've kind of hopeful, our Kings fans are they've, Mike, they've basically got Fox jerseys ready. They want this guy so badly. So I hope they're prepared for maybe a chance of it not happening. But if it does, I think the Kings would do it. But if they fall into that other scenario where Tatum or Jackson or something like that falls there at five, and then you could see point guard at 10. How do you rate that next batch, whether we're talking about Smith or Ntilikina? Kind of, is there a big drop off? Where do those two specific point guards or someone else kind of fit in?
Yeah, I think Dennis is kind of a wild card in this whole thing because he's really one of the most talented players in this draft. You're talking about an explosive physical guard who can score at all three levels, who can facilitate a little bit, who's shown us that when he wants to defend, he can be pretty good on the ball. It's just a matter of, you know, some of the concerns about effort and mentality and things like that with him. But, you know, if you were to get a guy like Josh or even Tatum at five, which is, you know, a steal to me for either of those guys, then I think taking a swing on a guy like Dennis Smith at 10, why not? You know, this guy has a lot of talent. You already have a guy in, say, Tatum or, say, Jackson, who is really a steal relative to your draft slot. I think Smith, if he ends up in the right situation, I like Dallas for him, just going to a place kind of with vets, with a strong infrastructure, a strong organization. You know, guys like Dirk, Wesley Matthews, who are going to kind of show him the way. I like, you know, a spot like that for him personally. But, I mean, if he's there at 10, I think he's really interesting still.
How about Frank? Any interest in Frank at 10, Ntilikina, or
no? I like Frank. You know, I think similar to Isaac in some ways, that I kind of see him as more of a piece. He, you know, has had a really nice year in Strasbourg in terms of being an 18-year-old guy who just played a big role in a team that went to the finals and defending three positions. And, you know, he's going to fit in the American game because he's 6'6 with a 7-foot wingspan. He knows how to play. He checks a lot of boxes. I think he's going to be a really, really solid pro. I'm not sold that he's going to be a full-time lead guard. I think he's going to have some success off the ball as well, just because he's not a guy who really breaks you down off the dribble. He's kind of more fluid than he is explosive. He's good in a ball screen, but he's not going to like knife you up and slice you up in the half court. So I think he's going to be a really, really nice player. But to me, a guy like Dennis Smith, even with his questions, is more intriguing as a prospect, especially if you're in a spot like the Kings.
All right. Again, at 10, if we kind of go to the shooting guard position, not that you ever want to dismiss talent, but probably the position they don't need the most is shooting guard. But whether we're talking Monk, let's say Kennard, maybe Mitchell, any of those, if they're there at 10, I know Monk may be rated higher than that, but any of those that you would say Sacramento should grab if they're there at 10?
I think Monk is definitely interesting if he's there at 10. It just depends on how much you believe in him being able to be a lead guard. Mm-hmm. I kind of see him as, you know, I think he can develop some more point guard skills. He can get better in pick and roll, but to me, his mentality has always been more that of a gunner, more of a, I'm trying to get buckets. That's what I do. So I think if you're drafting him to be a point guard, it's not going to go as you'd hope. But, you know, if you're drafting him in some way to play off the ball and be sure. This microwave scorer guy, he's interesting. But I think in their situation, you're looking for more of a lead guard type of guy. And I'm not sure he's like this crazy talent. While he can really score, I think he's gonna be a really productive NBA player who I would probably take higher than 10. I don't know about the fit there.
Yeah, and then Mitchell and Kennard at the two, any fit there for the Kings?
You know, I think Kennard is somewhat interesting in that I think he can play a little bit more on the ball than people think. You know, a lot of people say, oh, you know, Stauskas gets all over you and all this stuff, but I don't really see that completely. I think he's a tough kid in terms of his mentality. He's not scared of anything. I mean, he had his moments at Duke too, but like at his pro day, there's Magic Johnson, there's you know, Chris Paul, Phil Jackson, all these guys in this small little gym. You know, you can hear a pin drop, and this guy rattles off like 17 straight threes in a row. He's dapping up Chris Paul. Like he's just not afraid of anything. He has size. He can play out of ball screens. He can pass. He's always going to have, you know, some questions, I think, on the defensive end. But guys like Monk and Smith aren't really defenders either. So to me, he's one of the more interesting guard prospects in this draft and maybe someone to take somewhat of a look at it then.
Two guys that are incredibly talented but are kind of in the same spot where they've been injured. I've been in a couple mock drafts, and I think you evaluated one with David Locke on our Locked On NBA draft. But Anunoby and OG Anunoby and then Giles, both highly talented, but where should they go? Because everybody's concerned about their injuries.
Yeah, I think to me, OG is a little bit more interesting in that I think he is really a four in today's NBA. I mean, he's big enough. He's 6'8". He's probably going to play at 230-plus pounds. He's got a monster frame, and he has a 6'2 wingspan. So, I mean, I think he's definitely a four in today's NBA who can switch everything, who has the body to defend like an actual traditional four, and who can step out and shoot the three a little bit. And he's a really good athlete. So, to me, you know, you want to see how he progresses after the injury, but he's more of a fit and kind of what you're looking for. You know, everyone wants these 3-4 types who can guard multiple positions and make a shot. Like, you know, scouts travel the world looking for anyone who can do something even close to that. So whereas to me, Harry Giles, I think, is, you know, still an interesting prospect. He's still young. He's long. He moves well. But I'm not sure he is as intriguing of a fit in today's NBA. To me, he's more of a rim runner, a guy who can switch a little bit, an offensive rebounder, protect the rim, you know, here and there. But more intrigue to me for Anunoby, who could – you know, I don't know. I know there are questions about the injury, and it could end up being a lottery-level talent when you look back. But with Giles, I see him more as like a energy big off the bench.
You know, Mike, you do this all the time. You're seeing all these tape. I mean, the stuff at Draft Express is just amazing. A guy I finally saw a video of, and I'm trying to understand why he's ranked where he is, and I'm going to butcher his name, but I think he's from Latvia. It's a Pasennix? Is that right?
I don't know. Andrzej Pasecznik.
Pasecznik. Yep. He looks smooth. He looks fluid. He's so long. But what am I? I mean, it's still, he's ranked around 20th. There's nothing wrong with that. But it seems like he could be higher. What's the talk about him?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's really, really interesting. 7'2", moves really well, like you said, pretty good hands, you know, can shoot it a little bit, you know, with time. He's not a shooter, but can make an occasional three. Toughness has always been a thing for him. He really came on this year. I mean, he's shown flashes in the past, but this year was really the first year where he was able to play, you know, more than 10 minutes a game, have a more consistent role, really coming into his own, still 21 years old. So I think, you know, the questions with him are toughness, you know, rebounding, and kind of more things of that nature, you know, never been a great defensive rebounder, has had his moments defensively, you know, more on the soft side at times, but so you can't really pencil him in as, you know, he's definitely going to adjust quickly to the NBA style of play. But as a guy who is one willing to stay over in Gran Canaria for a year, get stronger, continue to develop, and two, you know, fit as, you know, this new center who can step out a little bit, who can put it on the floor. I think he can switch a little bit. Interesting player. Just, I think is gonna need a little bit of time.
So, Mike, when I ask everybody that I've been talking to about the draft, about give me someone else, give me someone we should be looking at, whether that's for the Kings at 34, just, I don't know if sleeper is the right term, that's always thrown out there, but the names that have come up the most when I've asked people, I've written them down: Juwan Evans, Caleb Swanigan, Jordan Bell, Kyle Kuzma, Frank Mason. Those seem to be the most common. You like that group, or is there anyone else you would throw in there too? Just whether it's at 34 for the Kings, or just someone that you feel is rated too low in your opinion that could be a really good player in this draft.
Yeah, I think there are a few. Let's see. I like Kuzma for sure. I think Kuzma is a really interesting one, especially at 34, in that giving you a guy who can stretch the floor a little bit. I think offensively he's a really good fit, you know, in today's NBA. Guys who probably won't make it to 34, but Derek White and Semi Ojeleye are two guys I really, really like. I think they're going to end up being, you know, potentially top 20 guys from this draft when you look back. Another kid I think who's interesting is two guys, Wesley Iwundu from Kansas State. Liked him a lot throughout the year. He had an atrocious combine, just really, really struggled. And it's a tough situation. You're playing with guys you've never played with. And, you know, the more ball dominant guys usually succeed. But 6'7", 7 foot wingspan, guards multiple positions, really played point guard at Kansas State. I think he's an interesting kind of versatile defender guy who can play on the ball. And then Sterling Brown from SMU to me is a really interesting guy. 6'6", is Shannon Brown's brother. 6'6", 6'9", wingspan, strong, tough defender, shoots it. I think he's going to carve out a role as well.
Yeah, a couple SMU guys there. Let me ask you, I've asked everyone this too, so try to paint a really good night, a perfect night for the Kings. 5'10", and 34, what would that look like kind of in your mind, and just a rough estimate? If the Kings, you feel like they nailed it at 5, they nailed it at 10, and 34 was also a good pick that could be in the rotation or make the roster, what do you think that looks like?
Yeah, I think Fox at 5 would be great. And then if you're talking, you know, realistic, you know, obviously yeah, you'd love a guy like Isaac.
Sure, but
I think even a guy like Markkanen would be awesome. Mm-hmm. But if that's out of the question, you know, I think getting a guy like Zach or even John Collins, one of the Collins.
Yeah, who do you like
brothers,
better there?
You know, I think Zach, I worry a little bit less about Zach just because he's versatile in that he rebounds, he can protect the rim. He's athletic for his size, and I think he's going to be able to stretch the floor to 3. So, like, he doesn't have maybe an elite NBA skill, but he does a little bit of everything. Whereas Collins is a little bit more of a wild card. He was really a 15 feet in type of guy in Wake Forest, and he really didn't defend, and he didn't really create for many people. But when you look at it with him, it's like, this is a freshman age kid who just went in, and destroyed the ACC, averaged 19 points a game, and, you know, played really hard, really rebounds it. So I don't know. I think Collins, Zach, has a little bit more – you're a little bit more sure about him being a good NBA player. I think he'll be solid, whereas John Collins, you're okay, he might take some time to adjust to the NBA game, but if it clicks for him, I think he has a little bit higher upside. So if you're okay, say you get Zach Collins, I think that's a success. And then if you're talking about 34, I think if you get a guy like Kuzma as well, that's a really interesting, you know, trio right there.
It'd be a nice night for the Kings. It's nice for them to have this opportunity, let's put it that way. And I kind of agree with you earlier. I don't know that we're done with what happened with Boston and Philly, and maybe even more drama is going to happen even before draft night. So it should be fun. I know you guys, how hectic is it for you on draft night actually doing the show on the Vertical?
Yeah, it's pretty wild. It's fun. It's definitely fun just because it's not very staged, you know. It's just like a natural reaction of a cohesive group of guys who genuinely have, you know, thoughtful and analytical opinions on these things. And like last year, it was just free flowing. I mean, with, you know, Papayannis and Thon and yeah, these guys going higher than you expected. And then I'm sure this year there will be some movement. You know, we're trying to figure out who's going where. And Jonathan and Woj and Shams are kind of on the floor at the Barclays Center and corresponding with them. It's a really cool kind of a rush that you get from all that going on. So I'm fired up, man. I think, like we said, you know, that might be just the first of a few dominoes with Fultz with that trade. We'll see.
What's cool about that is, I mean, you guys are so tapped into this and you have your own opinions. You think where everybody kind of gets a consensus where they're ranked, and then boom, someone does something that shocks you or, I don't know, makes you laugh. But it's just that's got to be the fun element of it, just where that energy and that surge you're talking about, because you just don't know what's going to happen.
Right. Yeah. And we're also, you know, oh, it's crazy that, you know, the Celtics passed on Chris Dunn at 3. And like, you know, in the moment you think, you know, and the reality of the draft is, man, it's such a crapshoot.
Absolutely.
And you really don't, everyone says even like, oh, is this a strong draft? Is it, like, you really don't know, you know, guys like Giannis become Giannis, you mm-hmm. know, guy, like things change, guys develop. And so I think you just kind of have to go with the flow with it, have your opinion, and you know, it's all fun, man. It's an inexact science. And I think if we had all the answers, we'd be a lot richer than we are. So.
Well, we want people to follow you on Twitter as well, @Mike_Schmitz. Of course, the director of scouting at Draft Express. The great work you're going to have this week with the draft show on the Vertical. Mike, thank you so much. We'll have to catch up with you again after the draft. Thank you for your time. And yeah, we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Good luck to you guys. Should be fun.
Well, again, my thanks to Mike Schmitz, @Mike_Schmitz, S-C-H-M-I-T-Z. He's the director of scouting at Draft Express, NBA draft contributor to the Vertical. And check out that show. That's going to be wild. Draft night, it's already starting, the drama this week. But on Thursday, the draft, the Vertical does an amazing job. And you'll get their analysis and reactions and probably predictions and different things they think. And they're so well-resourced and tapped in. They'll know a lot of things that are going on before they actually are announced in the draft. So another good follow and watch during the draft. But as we said, it's already been a wild start with the Philly swap with or the trade with Philly and Boston. And it looks like Philly's going to take Fultz. Boston's going to have some choices at 3. Lakers before them. And we laid it all out. What could happen at 5, 10, 34 for the Sacramento Kings? But keep following us here on Locked On Kings each and every day, Monday through Friday. This week will be a big one. More draft coverage each and every day. And of course, Thursday's the draft. Friday, we'll get the reaction of what the picks are for the Sacramento Kings. But Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes, it's free. Subscribe there. Just have it waiting for you. And if you would continue to please just leave us ratings and reviews there. You don't even have to write a review. You can give us the rating system as well. Hopefully you give us a 5-star, but that's just an easy click. All of you that listen every day, just go over to iTunes and do a little click of our Locked On Kings podcast, a little quick star review, or write out something if you'd like as well. I really, really would appreciate it. But thanks again to Mike Schmitz. We're back again tomorrow for another edition of Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Now
Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.